My name's Dove. I'm one of the pastors here. And to be able to gather together with people who are seeking God is one of the most amazing privileges I can think of. It's really a treat. What an amazing gift. I really appreciate being with you guys. It's amazing how God meets us where we're at. I was thinking about my life a little bit. So I grew up with parents that were spiritual. I did not go to church. We did not go to church. When we visited my cousins, I would go to church. When we visited my grandma, I would go to church. And God gave me an incredible gift, which was a hunger for Him. And I heard someone say, if you have a desire for God, you are the richest person alive. And that really just connected with me. It's like, yeah, I feel like I am the richest person alive because God gave me a hunger to know Him. Even from a young age, He just gave me a hunger, a spiritual hunger in my life. And I would have conversations with people, but I didn't have a place to just, like this, to meet and like seek God together. When I was in middle school, someone gave me a New Testament. I started reading the Bible. My dad, even though he didn't go to church, my dad was a Christian, kind of a hippie Christian. And my mom's mom was a Christian, and they had a really bad relationship. And my mom had a really awful feeling towards anyone who called themselves a Christian. And so I kind of had this spiritual hunger, but I also was given very much a fear of organized religion. And so be very careful of organized religion. So I came to college, and I met some friends that were part of our church, our group of churches. And they invited me to church. They shared the gospel with me. They loved on me. And I remember the first time I went to church, and I was pretty guarded. I had seen people that lived double lives that were part of the church. And at the church at that time, if you put on your name and address, they would bring you a plate of cookies and welcome you to the church. And so they're like, hey, sign up. And I was like, no, I'm not giving my name and address to this church. You gotta be kidding me. And the guy with me, a friend of mine, was like, here, I'll sign up for you. If you don't want the cookies, I'll take them. It has nothing to do with the cookies. So he put down my name and address. And then a couple months later, the church was a great experience. And the group of people was a really great experience. And a couple months later, our pastor was going to do a conference in Kansas. And so they invited us. And so people were hounding me. Hey, you're going to go to this conference? You're going to go to this conference? And I was like, what? I'm not going to pay like a couple hundred bucks to like go to some spirit, like religious conference. And so they were like, well, we could help pay for it. And I'm like, no, I worked summer jobs. I had some money. It wasn't the money. So they talked me into going, and I went to this conference, and our pastor was there, and he gave a number of different teachings. And I remember in one of the teachings, he said, you know, if any of you here have unfinished business with God, you don't need to be in here listening to me. Why don't you go take care of that? Why don't you go? I don't know what he said exactly. Go talk to God. And so for me, for where I was at, God met me there. That was like really affirming, really cool. You know, I kind of expected he would be like, hey, let me make sure I give you all the right religious stuff. Sit here. You know, it was like, no. And so it was night. It was dark. I went out into the woods where the camp was and just poured out my heart to God. And over the next few weeks, God really answered some of the questions that were deep inside of me. And it's cool how God meets us where we're at. And there's something in me that, I guess from those beginnings, that's something I'm still passionate about. So I want to ask you guys a question. When you pray to God, where do you direct your prayers? Maybe another way to say that is, where is the God you're praying to? Where is God when you're praying to Him? And the cool thing is there's no wrong answers on this. And so I want to go through some choices. We'll make it multiple choice. Multiple choice is always easier than free response. So when you pray to God, where do you direct your prayers? Is it to a God who is up above in heaven, looking down and watching us? Is it a God who's next to you, like a companion? Is it a God that's inside of you? Are you praying to a God who lives within you? Are you praying to a God who is everywhere, who fills the entire universe with his being? I think just as we think about God, all of those are true. All of those are true. There's not a right answer. And sometimes for me in my life, I need a God who's above all the mess and sees it all. And sometimes I need a God who's right next to me, who holds my hand. And sometimes I need a God who's inside of me. And not that wherever I need God is where He is, but the reality is that God is in all these places, and when we cry out to Him, we can meet Him there because God is with us. So I want to talk about that today, how God is with us. So let's pray and give this time to God. Thank you, God, that you are with us. God, I pray that you would meet each person here where they're at. God, I pray that you would answer the questions that are inside of them. I pray that the questions that are not answerable, that you would meet them there in power, that they would be able to trust you. God, I pray that we would be aware of your presence, that we would live in the reality that you are with us, that we would walk in the truth that you are here and will never leave us. God, help us to see you, help us to trust you. We love you. You are so amazing. Thank you, God, for being our God. I cannot live without you. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I just want to go through some of those. There's more verses on your handout, but just on one of them. God is in heaven, above the earth. I know as I've kind of understood more about heaven, I gave a message on this a while back. So check it out. There's a lot to say there. Heaven is not a physical location. It's not like you could get a telescope and like, oh, if there's heaven, heaven is really far, but if you could see far enough, you can see, and there's God, He's there. Heaven is a spiritual location, a spiritual place that is connected to the physical, but is completely separate as well. And so God is in heaven. He is above. It's not a place in the sky so much, but I think it's really helpful to us to realize God is really big. He's really above it all. God is not like a person who is troubled by the things we are. God is really big and above it all. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, "Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." I love that we have a God who is in heaven, and His Son, Jesus Christ, is seated next to Him on a throne of victory, on a throne of power, on a throne that oversees it all and is able to make all of it right. God is sovereign above the entire universe. God is also near me. Psalm 73:23 says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. What a beautiful analogy that God is like holding my hand. God is so present, so personal, so close that he holds my hand. And I think that's really cool that God is above, God is above it all, and God is also near. And that's amazing to me. And then not only that, but if you have received his Spirit, God lives within me. If I have received Christ, Christ lives inside of my spirit. Christ lives in me. I am a temple of God. This is an amazing thing. And one of the amazing gifts that Jesus Christ offers is that you could have the Spirit of God live inside of you if you want. If you would like God to come and make his home inside of you. And so 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" Wow. I don't know. So I think sometimes it's kind of strange for me to pray to God inside of me. It's just, but God is inside. Like, the Holy Spirit lives in us. If we have received the Spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ makes his home inside of us. And then God is all present. The fancy word for that is omnipresent. God is everywhere. Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the entire heavens and earth, the physical and the spiritual?" God is all present. God is, there is no place you can go and hide from God. There is no place beyond him. What an amazing truth. And so, regardless of how we connect with this, the big idea is that God is with us. God is with us. And when I live my life with the reality that God is with me, it absolutely transforms the way I live. God is with me. God is here right now. God is with us. And I put a bunch more verses because I think they're super encouraging. I encourage you to check those out on the back, just about the reality of God being with us. And a lot of them are connected to the idea, don't be afraid. Hey, don't be afraid. You know why? God's with you. Don't fear. God is with you. So if God is with us, what does that mean? What does that do for our life? We don't have to be afraid. That's what I see. If God is with us, we can trust. If God is with me, I can relax. If God is with me, I am secure. Even if I die. It's really cool to me the times that I feel really close to God. I'm not afraid of death at all. It's just like, death is death. But when I feel really far from God, it's like, I don't know if my family can make it without me if I die. It's like, ugh. When I'm close to God, it's like, man, I am in a secure place. God is next to me. God is with me. God is trustworthy. If God is with us, we can have a relationship with him. Sometimes this is definitely the drum that I beat. Sometimes I feel like you guys might get tired of me. It's like every message, Doug's going to get up and talk about, have a relationship with God. But to me, it's like, this is the most amazing thing. You can have a personal relationship with the God who created the entire cosmos. That, to me, is just unbelievable. That is so fantastic. I can have a personal relationship with the one who created me, who knows me, the one who knows the future and holds the entire universe together by his power. It's like, I've never had a relationship with any celebrities that I know of. I mean, some of you guys might be celebrities and I'm secretive. And I've never thought I should. I have a brother who's really courageous. And so, like, if we go somewhere and there's somebody famous, then he'll want to meet them and, like, see if he can, like, you know, email them and, like, be connect, you know, like, I don't follow any famous people on Instagram or any, you know, I'm just not, like, and that would be cool. Imagine, like, if you got to call up somebody really awesome, whoever's awesome in this world, and talk to him once a week. That would be fun, right? Like, oh, I get to call up famous person, talk to them, like, you get to have a relationship with someone way cooler than that. That's wild. And one of the amazing things for me is David. David's this guy in the Bible. His name is mentioned the second most in the Bible after Jesus. So he's pretty famous biblically. I really appreciate David. It was cool in youth group. A few months ago, Steve led us in an activity, and the question was to kind of, if you could just list out 10 of the key people or events in the Bible, what would be your 10? And then what's the significance of each of those? And so it was like, David's on my list. David, you know, I got to put David in the, if I got 10 people or 10 events, David's on there. So David is like, well, what's the significance of David? Like, they had already had a king. He replaced this king, and he started this monarchy, this line of kings. But it wasn't so much that he started a line of kings, because they already had a king before him. To me, it was like, David is, and this is my personal interpretation. I'm not saying this is the right answer. But to me, it was like, David, he really had a personal relationship with God. Enough that they said he was a man after God's own heart. And David, in my life, reading the things David has written, reading the things David did, gave me permission and encouragement to have an emotional relationship with God. To me, that's what David did. He's like, you have permission not just to have an intellectual relationship with God, you have permission to have an emotional relationship with God. There's something in my experience that's amazing about if you share emotions with somebody in a place that's trusting and safe, it builds a really fantastic connection. There's other ways to build connection. I'm not saying emotions are the only way. But David shared his emotions, and not only that, but he wrote them into songs and he sang them. And he sang songs to God about being angry. He wrote songs to God about being discouraged and wanting to quit. He wrote songs to God about being afraid. He wrote songs to God about his feelings of betrayal. He wrote songs to God about his joy and how much he loved what was happening in his life. He wrote songs to God begging for help in desperation. And he had this incredible relationship with God, incredible, that I think is like, it's a model. Like, you can have a relationship with God, a really vibrant, alive relationship with God. And I think David has given me permission in my life to be really real with God, to be really raw with God, and to find a really living relationship through that. And I want to give you guys the permission and the encouragement to have an emotional connection with God, to really bring all of yourself to God and to find God in that place. Of course, that's going to look different for all of us. I mean, the way I am, the way I relate with people is different than how you would. But you have permission, and I think it's such a treasure. It's such an amazing thing. Because God is with us. God is with us. We can know him. We can have a bond with him. We can have an incredible connection. I want to talk a little bit about lamenting. It's kind of a big theme in the Bible. So lamenting is like grieving. It's communicating sorrow, maybe despair, communicating complaint. But it's not just communicating those. The difference is it's communicating those to God. It's sharing that with God. And it is a big theme in the Bible. There's an entire book called Lamentations. Really powerful book. Really hard to read. That middle chapter is unbelievable. One of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. But to hear somebody just in anguish pour out their heart to God, but also to find God in the middle of that. It's not just this empty crying out, this empty pouring of sadness. It's a pouring of sadness to a God who sees, to a God who's close, to a God who's able to help, to a God who cares about it. It's this really powerful thing. If you read the book of Job, his lamenting to God is really profound and beautiful, scary at times, goes all different. It's not pretty. The Psalms, which are the songs of the Bible, more than 50 of them are classified as Psalms of Lament. And the Psalms of Lamentation are kind of beautiful, but we don't sing them very often. Like, they're just, like, there's also Psalms, which are songs, in the Bible classified as Psalms of Wisdom, Psalms of Prophecy, Psalms of Praise. And I think those are typically more enjoyable to sing. But this is where you guys get a chance. I was thinking about this. Who can tell me the names of anybody in the Bible who cried, who wept?
Jeremiah.
Yeah, and he wrote Lamentations, as far as we know. And just this, he's, some people call him the weeping prophet, right? Just crying, weeping to God, weeping to God. Who else in the Bible cried? By the way, if you say one that I'm not sure of, I was thinking of some, I'll say maybe. That means you're probably right. I just don't know. I just can't tell you for sure. Go ahead. Jesus, it's recorded in the Bible that Jesus wept on more than one occasion. At least three I can think of. Yeah. Paul. Yeah, it talks in the Bible about Paul weeping. Peter. Talks about Peter weeping. Judas. Jonas. The crying. Yeah. Joseph. Yeah, absolutely.
Jacob.
Yep. Who else? In the Bible, is it recorded? Who was it?
Mary and Martha.
Mary and Martha, yeah. Hannah. Job, yeah. David, a lot of crying, a lot of.
Mary.
Mary Magdalene or Mary the mother of?
Mary
the mother of Jesus, uh-huh. Both, uh-huh.
Hannah.
Can anybody think of groups in the Bible weeping together?
Nineveh,
maybe, most likely. I don't.
Israel at time.
Israel, any specific times? Give me.
Maybe Nehemiah.
With Nehemiah, yeah. Uh huh. Absolutely. And Nehemiah. And Ezra, people weeping with Ezra. One of the ones that struck me is when Stephen the martyr died, it said godly men buried him and mourned deeply. That phrase really hit me. I'm like, wow. One of the ones that really sticks out to me is David, his army. He had a bunch of beasts, man. These guys were warriors. And it says that this tragedy happened and they wept until they had no strength left to weep. I was like, whoa. All right. So for a guy who's emotional and got made fun of a lot growing up, it's really cool to me to see people I really respect that cried. And that was worth recording. That was worth recording in their lives. I'm assuming everybody who has ever lived cried. It's not recorded that everybody cried. I'm also assuming everybody has laughed. But it's not recorded that everyone's laughed. So can you think of anyone in the Bible who it's recorded that they laughed? I'm assuming they all did, but recorded.
Sarah
and Isaac, right? Sorry, Sarah and Abraham. And they named their son Isaac, which means laughter. Okay, who?
Elizabeth.
I don't know about that, but you're probably right. Yeah. The kids that laughed at Elijah. Uh-huh. Yep, absolutely. And then that didn't go too well for him. As far as I know, and I would love to talk more, the only people I know of that it records laughing is Sarah and Abraham. And then it also talks about lots of people mocking people like that, like people mocking Nehemiah, they're laughing at him, people laughing at Jesus, people, I'm assuming everybody laughed. And then it also talks about God laughs at those who think they're better than him. He's like, so typically laughter is just considered this mocking thing, like, all right, we're just belittling somebody. So, and the reason I say this is like, I guess it's just kind of, to me, it gives permission to be sad. It gives permission to grieve. It gives permission to mourn. Someone lovingly said that I'm sadness from inside out. And so this is one of the things that I, for whatever reason, bring. I feel like lamenting, like bringing your sadness to God is a really good and healthy thing. And so I'm introducing, next Sunday, we're going to do a service called Blue Christmas. And Blue Christmas is, we've done it for a few years, maybe five. And it was something that I started 5 years ago. It's not something that everybody here would agree with or approve of. It's not like a fun time. But I want to invite you to that. I want to invite you to the Blue Christmas, which is next Sunday. I want to invite you to come to a house of mourning. And this time of year, there's also a lot of houses of feasting. And Ecclesiastes says, it's better to go to a house of mourning than a house of feasting. And so, and I don't say that to be like, oh, if you don't go, you're bad. I'm not trying to put any guilt trip on anybody. But I want to invite you to a house of mourning. And so in this house of mourning, next Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30, we're going to have the lights down lower, and we'll probably just have a small group of people. And we're going to have a table here with a black cloth on it, and it's going to be kind of dark and somber. And it's a time to bring that part of the year. Did anybody this year have any losses? Did anybody have any struggles, pains? It's a time to bring those. And not just bring those, but bring those to God together. And I know that's a very personal thing. And I know many of us would be more comfortable on our own. But if you are comfortable and would like to join us, I would like to invite you. We will have an opportunity for whoever likes during that time to stand up and share a loss that they experienced, or a challenge, and to just share, here's what it meant to me, here's what the loss, the absence of that means to me, here's what I'm thankful for, that whatever I lost was, like how beautiful it was, and to just take a time to acknowledge before God that there's a loss, there's an absence. And with each of those, we'll light a candle, and then it's kind of cool, you can just see the candles that represent those different losses that we had, and then we blow them all out and just realize that loss is real. But one candle we leave lit, which is the Christ candle from the Advent thing, to represent Christ is still here. Christ is still in all those losses. So I know grieving is messy. Who knows what people will share and what will happen, but I want to invite you to a house of mourning. Sorrow can be a really beautiful thing, a really connecting to God. Okay, that's what I wanted to share today. A, God is with us. B, because God is with us, as modeled by David and others, you have permission to have a connection with God, to really connect in a real way. And see, you are invited to be a part of this if you like, but you are encouraged to face some of those emotions that are harder to face with God and to bring them to God. I wanted to read a couple psalms of lament. Psalm 130:10. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. These are so beautiful. Psalm 6:3. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? These are pretty raw. Psalm 38, 9-11. All my longing lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me. Because of my wounds, my neighbors stay far away. That's a person in deep lament. Psalm 10:1. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Aren't you close? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 42:3 and 4. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. It's like, I remember how good it was. And I pour out my soul. I really love that phrase. I pour out my soul. We have permission to pour out our souls to God, and He will meet us there. I would like to give you just a couple minutes, maybe one, two. I would like you to complete this sentence with something that's meaningful to you. I would encourage you to even do more than one. Because God is with me, I fill in that sentence. Because God is with me, I will trust Him. Because God is with me, what does that mean to you? Fill in that sentence. You don't have to write it down. It's not a test. Write two or three of them in your head. This is the takeaway. Because God is with me. All right, why don't we pray, and then we'll sing a couple more songs. Praise our God. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you're with us. Because you are with me, I have meaning in my life. Thank you that you have given us meaning. Thank you that you would stoop down to make us great, that you would care about us who are but dust. Thank you for loving us so deeply. God, I pray that you would meet us in our joys and our fears, in our hurts and sorrows. May we each know you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.